The text for our Good Friday meditation is an Old Testament text, Isaiah 52, verse 13, and chapter 53, verses 2 and 3, and verse 5. Let's begin tonight reading this text from Isaiah. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up, and shall be exalted. For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. This is God's word given for our good. Let's pray. Lord God, we ask that you would meet us in this place, that we would encounter the God who loves us so much, that you entered into the shadows of all of our brokenness, Lord, meet us in these shadows. Open our eyes that we could see who you truly are, that out of the depth of your love, you died for us, that we might have life. Lord, teach us this good news again this evening. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. It was my senior year at West Point when, during an interview for a scholarship to go on to graduate school, the interviewer asked me a question, and they said this: I understand that you're a Christian. I am not, she said. And one of my favorite quotes by Rousseau or Twain or George Bernard Shaw, whoever it is that in the beginning, God created man in his own image. And man, being a gentleman, returned the favor. My question for you, Eric, is how would you respond to that statement? I think I surprised her when I said I largely agree with it. In fact, I think the statement captures quite well one way that we can understand sin. Sin is our rejection of God, as holy other. And to reduce God to human dimensions, to something or someone that we can control or define, even redefine in light of who we want God to be or need God to be. But in Scripture, we find quite a different story. Scripture is the unfolding story of God's self-revelation, God revealing to us his own self. And the struggle that we find in this story of Scripture is the human response to this revelation. Even in the midst of God's mighty acts, his outstretched arm, the chronic temptation of sin remained. And this chronic temptation does not merely belong to everybody else out there. It belongs to me as well. So my holy God is fashioned into a God who avoids association with people that I have a problem with. My beautiful God is fashioned into a God who only dwells in places that I'm comfortable entering into? Am I good and loving God? Well, I have fashioned him into a God who is at work when things are going well, but negligently absent when there is struggle. Well, tonight, on Good Friday, all these ways that we have sought to refashion God into our own image, those ways are confronted, and we are invited to confess, God, I am defining you. And instead, we're invited to encounter our God who reveals himself as high and lifted up, who reveals himself as exalted and glorified in the person of Jesus dying on a cross. In our passage, the prophet Isaiah anticipates God's work in Christ, this promised servant, and proclaims, "Behold, my servant will act wisely, and he will be high and lifted up. He will be exalted." Isaiah begins describing the servant using lofty language, language to describe a great king. But that language quickly changes, does it not? Resisting our temptation to refashion God's servant, his coming Messiah, on our own terms, Isaiah proclaims that his servant, yes, will be lifted up. Yes, he'll be exalted, but not in the way that you would expect. Rather, his appearance will be marred. Beyond human semblance, this servant will have no form or majesty that we would even want to look at him. No beauty that we would desire him. Rather, this servant who will be high and lifted up is despised and rejected, wounded and crushed. Not what we expect this exalted servant to look like. Not what we expect to find in God our King. But this is precisely who God reveals himself to be in Christ. There is an image that was discovered in the early church in Asia Minor. It's a piece of anti-Christian graffiti, so to speak, in which Christ is depicted on a cross with the head of a donkey. And the words that are translated alongside it from the Greek read, "Alexhomenos worships God." Jesus, our holy God, our all-powerful King and Creator, the crucified God, is a confounding image that challenges our understanding of holiness. It challenges our understanding of power, of glory, of love. What is holiness in the shadow of the cross? What is power in the shadow of death? What is glory in the shadow of mockery? And what is love in the shadow of denial? But we preach Christ crucified, Paul says. A stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. This is your God, a crucified king, a slain lamb. But Isaiah does not only confront our understanding of who God is, but also what God does. Instead of a holy God who avoids unholiness, in the person and work of Jesus, we encounter a holy God who enters into unholiness to make us, to make all things holy. Isaiah says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And with his stripes, we are healed. Later on in the passage, he says, "The righteous one, my servant, will make many to be accounted righteous. He shall bear their iniquities." You see, instead of a holiness that is rooted in this fear of contamination, in Christ, we encounter a fearless holiness that pushes into our brokenness and into our sin, and he does so out of perfect love and grace. In the life of Christ, we encounter a holy God who reaches out and touches the unclean, and he makes them clean. And it is in the cross of Christ where we encounter a holy God who bears all our iniquities and sin. It is in the cross of Christ where our holy God takes upon himself the curse of death on a cursed tree, and in so doing offers us eternal life. Apostle John says that no one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he's made him known. While the chronic temptation of sin remains, the temptation to form God in our own image, Jesus invites us to see in him the God who made us and saves us. Jesus, the servant, high and lifted up, the exalted King, the crucified God. This is your God, being who God is and doing what God does, that we might find true life in him. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you for who you are. That in spite of our attempts over and over again to refashion you into our own image, to even just simply deny that we even know or that you even exist, to even trying to kill you, you never give up on us. That while we were enemies, you demonstrated your love for us in this, that you died for us. Lord, may we rest in this incredible love and find hope in a God who saves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.